Ready.
Welcome back to Real Talk with Sarah. We have Johnny Davis here with us today, and he's going to talk to us more about Christian romance. Johnny has been involved in youth and young adults ministry for almost 15 years, and so I really value hearing his heart on the topic today, which is rejection. How do we handle being turned down, and how do we turn down? Johnny is a pro on this topic, so I'm really excited. Johnny, take it away.
I am a pro at getting rejected. Yes. Amen.
That's not what I meant.
No, I know. I just couldn't help but to make that joke. No, I think it's important to talk about because on one end, I think we all deal with rejection in this area at some point, unless you're like the most amazing, perfect person ever, and the first person you ask out, they say yes every time. But I think it's important because I see people that when they experience rejection, they don't handle it the right way and it becomes a whole thing. Or I've seen people that when they turn someone down, it becomes unhealthy in other ways. So I think it is a very important topic to talk about in the kind of area that we're discussing as of late of Christian dating is what do we do with rejection? And when we need to, turn someone down, how do we do that with love, but also effectively so we don't mislead and don't cause any stumbling?
Yes, and so good. So talk to us about how to handle being turned down. I know there's a lot of probably guys especially who are afraid to approach girls because they're afraid of getting a no. Talk to us about a healthy mindset of what allows confidence to take over when you're turned
Yeah.
down.
Yeah, it's hard. Rejection, I don't want this to become a how to feel good after rejection. The reality is it's never fun. There's no secret way to, get rejected, get turned down after asking someone out or whatever situation and have you walking away singing and laughing. Like it's not fun, it becomes more turning how you look at it, The reality is if you get rejected, if you get turned down from asking someone out, it's not necessarily meaning there's anything wrong with you. You just might not be what that person's looking for. I think an easy example to say is, say there's some 23-year-old guy, lived with his mom till 19 or 20 and is out on his own, and he's doing good, but he ends up being interested in a girl that has three kids, and she's like, hey, this isn't something I'm looking for. It's not necessarily that he's bad. It's just she's looking for a guy that can be an active father figure to her kids and not just like being a good guy and example, but financially, responsibility wise, there's so many levels. So that's just one example of it's not that rejection means that we're doing something bad per se. It means you're just not what they're looking for. I think it does open the door, of course, for self-improvement. We can kind of look at ourselves, and I think we should always be trying to better ourselves in every way that we can, not to make it a performance or to try to over exhaust ourselves to try to become the perfect person, but we all have something we could get better at, but with just rejection, it really is going in with confidence and being able to say, okay, I know I'm a good thing, even if that means I'm not the good thing for that specific person.
That's so good. Yes.
Yeah. And I think, sometimes in that, I think there needs to be sometimes healthy boundaries and healthy like distance after being rejected. I think sometimes I've seen people get rejected and then try to like jump right back into the same level of friendship. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you just can't do that. Sometimes you kind of have to like take a while to figure yourself out, pick yourself off the ground because it's still gonna be fresh in there. If you go the next day to hang out with that person, chances are, even subconsciously, you might still have that, like, well, I'm gonna prove her wrong. I'm gonna show her that I'm the right one. Don't do that. I think equally important after rejection is don't try to prove them wrong. Don't try to, in the sense of, okay, they rejected me, I am going to show them that they shouldn't have done that, and then they're going to change their mind. We're going to exhaust ourselves doing that. I've done it. I've definitely done the like, oh, okay, I got rejected, and I assume it's because of this reason. So now I'm going to over, perform in that area, I'm gonna like go overboard with it, showing no, you weren't right on that. You actually missaw that. And it doesn't help you, it doesn't help the person. It's, I think, I'm kind of all over the place here, but I think when we are rejected in that sense, and I even don't like using the word rejected, I'm just, when we're turned down in a
Yes,
dating
turned down is a
opportunity,
good, yeah.
yeah, when we're turned down, I think it's important that we accept that answer. It may not be the answer we want. It may not be the answer we were hoping for, but to accept it and not try to push past it. I've done it. I know a lot of people have done it where, you kind of look at the relationship as your goal. And I want this. And when the rejection comes or the being turned down comes, it almost becomes this, well, that's still my goal. And I think that's where we need to like stop that. I think we need to let things go. And so when someone says, hey, I don't want to date you, I don't love you like that, we do need to let that go. And it can be hard. It can be a process, just like many things, but we need to be able to let it go and not try to treat it like a workout goal. Like, okay, if I'm working on my legs, I'll just keep doing this over and over. No, just stop. Because there are so many stories out there of the, well, we she wasn't interested at first, or he wasn't interested at first, but then over time he did, and we became, those are awesome, but we can't let that become the narrative in our mind when it's not the narrative in their mind. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen naturally. I love one of the people I listen to for my life consulting classes I used to do. She talks about, you really need to let those things die. Like, let them go, let them die. If it's meant to come back, praise the Lord, he is good at resurrecting things. But keyword, he is good at resurrecting things.
Yes.
We can't hold on to it and keep holding tight to it, waiting for it to be resurrected, because then we're not letting go. We're painting them in a bad place. We're putting expectations on that person that just aren't healthy. And we're being stuck. If we stay in that spot, someone else might come along and we're too distracted holding on to this. I know it's graphic, but like dead body almost of this hope and dream. We're holding on to this when something else walks by that we could have been actually pursuing, that could have been God.
I like to think of, if somebody walks away, either a guy or a girl, there's a reason. Either they have relational anxiety or it's really just not their person. And so if they walk away, the best thing to do is to give them that breathing space to where they can figure out what's going on, and if they discover, oh, wow, this was anxiety, and it wasn't sitting right because of something within me, they can come back. And if they don't ever come back, it's a gift to yourself to let them go. But even if the person, you're like, will they come back or won't they come back? It's so much better to just move on. Like, don't sit there hoping, like actually open yourself up to other prospects and actually move on.
Yeah.
Unless you have just like a really clear directive not to, where there are those situations, but I so agree, like just view it as a gift to yourself to move on, because why would you want a person who walks away?
Yeah.
Like I don't want a person who won't fight for me, who won't do what it takes to be with me. I would much rather move on and be with someone who would, go through a lot to make sure he has me, And so I think every girl would feel that way. And the guys need to know that it's good to fight for a woman up to a point, but when she walks away, you'll gain her respect if she sees you put your chin up, and just really let her go.
Yeah. And a message to people that have been through that too. The reality with being turned down is it's done for a whole lot of reasons. And sometimes really good reasons. Like I said, with the example of the like single mom and a young guy that's never been around kids in his life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, just to be completely honest, in this fallen world, it's for not good reasons.
Yes.
Sometimes it could be actually a great catch for that person, but they just don't see it. They don't realize it. Whatever, insert. And either way, I think it's really important, one, not to take it personally, and two, if you do feel like maybe there are some bad reasons, hey, like, don't take that on yourself. Like, you're probably a really good thing, and they don't see that, and that's on them. Not to sound too harsh, but that's on them, you know? If they don't see the value that you could bring, go find someone that does. I've been seeing all these videos in social media that I love. They said, you know, if you're really called to be with that person, they're going to want to date you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times you get the, like, I feel like I'm called to date this person. It's like, okay, you've been rejected by them 5 times. You're probably not called to date that person.
Yeah, exactly.
But just like, you know, you want someone to see the value in you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a high value in you. So walk that out. You know, if someone rejects you, it's like, hey, God bless you. I'm sure God has a great person for you. If this was a mistake, and if you, you know, later on in life, you realize, oh man, you were great. Don't wait for that.
Yeah.
You know, don't.
Honestly, how someone handles being rejected or being turned down can sometimes be the means to wake up the other person's eyes, like, whoa, you know, this really is my person. Maybe, you know, it ended because of relational anxiety. Maybe, you know, there's all these reasons why people walk away, but just that, you know, that stabilizing effect of somebody not flipping out and somebody staying steady and somebody staying calm and just being that rock can actually be the means for someone else to return. Now I'm talking especially about, you know, guys versus girls. If a guy can just be that rock, either way, for a guy to handle that maturely only gives brownie points to the guy. You know, he'll only look better in her eyes, whether she ever comes back or not. Even if she ended things for not good reasons or because she has anxiety or, you know, whatever the reason might be. So huge, but it takes a really healthy man, I feel like, to do that. It takes a confident man, but I would like to talk. I am really interested in hearing your heart on the difference between going, I'm a good thing, I'm just not their good thing, versus going, is there something wrong with me that I have a hard time, you know, sustaining a relationship? That is such an important question because I do see a lot of girls desperately wanting to get married and they're puzzled as to why they can't. And, you know, a mentor or a coach could be with them for probably 5 minutes and go, I know exactly why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know why the guys aren't taking you to the altar, you know? And so what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think most people, it probably is going to be a mix of both. Now, there's a scale, you know. I love and adore. I have people in my life that I love and adore, but there are some, you know, young men that I know that it's just they haven't grown up, you know, or they're just, you know, no job, no house, still living with their parents. And if that situation, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It does, like, you may have just been raised. I know in some cultures, like, it's very common for a guy to just stay with his parents and be coddled by his parents for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and have the mom do everything. Compared to other cultures, like, no, I need an independent man that does all the stuff by himself. It's a scale. It's a reality. So the hard part is there's really no black and white. I would say everyone, though, to be fair, probably has a little bit of both. They are a good thing, but they probably do have some things they can work on. You know, I realize that I'm not in the most perfect place. You know, not that these are like the big temple, but there are things I could be better at. I could have a little more of a, like, financial savings, investments, and all that stuff to fall back on. You know, I'm by no means, like, bad with my money, but I could be better. You know, there's all little things I could think of. I'm like, you know, I'm not where I was, but I'm also not where I want to be.
But,
now,
you know, we're all on a growth journey. But I think, you know, I heard an older woman once say to other women, and she was so blunt. I was like, wow, she's going to get some people upset. And she just said it blankly. She's like, if you're overweight, you're going to have a harder time finding a husband. It's just that simple. Whoa. My ears burned. I was like, there's going to be some mad as hornets women with her over this. But hopefully they weren't, because her heart was to help them see that most guys would really love them to lose weight before marriage. Most guys don't want a woman who has eats until she falls out all over the place to marry, you know? And so I do think, like, situations like that where we can take a brutally hard, honest look at ourselves and go, I actually really do have to fix this about myself, versus, you know, I'm doing my best. Like what you mentioned with your finances, you know, you are a hard worker, you're responsible, you're diligent, you always have a job. I mean, you just moved and you're already going for a job interview tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
And so of course your finances could be better. Everyone's could, right? But you're in the position where you could take a woman and her kids on and actually provide and care for them. And so that's very different. And so I guess that's kind of, it reminds me of what I went through during my divorce. I was like, I knew it wasn't my fault, but yet I knew there were things I could have done better.
Yeah.
And I found so much freedom staring those things in the face and really taking that to heart. Like,
yeah,
gosh, that was such, you know, I could have done so much better in that area. And just to verbally voice that, and even to him, you know, I remember just going to him and saying, I really could have done better at this in our marriage. And I just want to own that, you know, even though I was devastated with everything that was going on and what he was doing, and you know, just the, yeah, I still had to own that. And I guess that's what I'm saying. I feel like that's missing in our culture, to where everyone wants to feel good about themselves so badly that they really don't look at things that might be hindering them from living a fruitful
Sure.
life. And for me, I have to be honest, for me, it's relational anxiety. I can be so anxious that I will literally sabotage so many things, friendships, you know, romance. There's so many things that are sabotaged when you're anxious and fearful. And so the Lord's nailing that in me right now, and not just really dealing with that.
Yeah.
That was long-winded, but take it from here. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I we talked about this the other night. I think when it comes to things like that, you know, overweight, anxiety, all the different things that you could have, you know, struggling with, I think the most important thing with any kind of self-improvement journey is, as much as, you know, we want to be with a partner, we want to be with a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever title you want to throw on it, we can't do it for that reason.
Yes,
Because,
which is why
yeah.
you shouldn't start dating someone and then take them on as a project and try to fix them
Exactly.
and turn them into what, like, you love the person you want them to be. You don't love the person they are right now. You know, and that goes back to, I mean, that hits on both, from both ends.
Yeah. And just, like, you know, to get a little theological here, you know, I truly believe, and it's biblical, that sin, all sin, is a heart issue. It's less about the actual physical action, the sense of, like, you know, it's bad because you did this. It's why did you do that? What is the cause of that?
Yes.
And I have been really blessed to work with a recovery community at the church I just came from for, gosh, 13 years, 12, something like that. And the really incredible thing about what I've learned is, when people would try to become sober, you know, drugs, alcohol, all that, if they did it for example, their spouse, their kids, the minute things started getting hard in that, the temptation increased of, like, well, why am I staying sober? Because obviously this didn't fix this, you know? And so they go right back to it a lot of times. And so I think with any self-improvement, you know, I think we all need to be on that path, but we need to find it in ourselves. Like, it really comes from a place of valuing ourselves, you know?
Exactly.
Whether it's overweight, eating unhealthy, smoking, you just name anything. And there's just, it, this is, like, I won't get too far into this, but there's so many other things on this of, like, it can come from trauma in the past. It can come from so many different places. And, you know, if that's you that maybe is dealing with any of these things, I just want to encourage you and really, like, love you and say, like, one, I'm sorry, whatever got you to that point, like it can be horrible things, like I was saying with trauma and such. But really, you need to go on a journey with God of loving yourself and finding that self-value to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to get yourself better by going militant on yourself and to get to a goal, because at the end of the day, if when you get to that goal, things aren't better, you're going to be more tempted to go back and saying, well, that didn't fix anything. I'm still having these relationship issues. I'm still having all this. Like, it's a hard issue. Ask God to reveal what that is and go on a journey to really process with that. And I promise you, through that journey, you'll be more healthily inspired to get better.
Oh, yeah. And you'll be a happier single person. I remember when the Lord nailed the anxiety and the fear that I was just gripped in and basically told me it's over. Like, you are going to be free from this. You do not have to walk around with like a low grade panic, you know? That was so freeing to me. I was just like, oh, the Lord says it's over. And it wasn't like I didn't have my battles to fight after that, but it was like, this is done. And when the Holy Spirit says something and you know it's from Him, then you know He's also going to do it. And so I have to say to anyone listening, like, emotional and spiritual issues that might keep you from a healthy relationship can be every bit as ugly as something that is visible. And sometimes much harder to deal with and much harder to put away, because it's not something that you can just fix. You know, you can't just start exercising or eating differently or, you know, you name it, whatever you need to do. But I want to encourage you, like, it is so worth it. It is so worth taking those things by the horn, staring them in the face, and getting the help that you need, even if that's finding a life coach or a mentor. But we are probably running out of time, but I really want you to touch on the other side of rejection. What is a healthy way for someone to say no to another who's interested in dating? I know you have some really good thoughts on this.
Yes, this is something that does not get talked about a lot, and I see it all the time. I think it's incredible that so many people have a really good heart and don't want to hurt people. But what I've seen happen time and time again is what we do to avoid hurting people is when they're interested in us, when they ask us that, whatever, insert whatever here, we try to find a way of saying no without saying no.
Mm-hmm.
We do the, well, I'm just not ready to date right now. Well, I just look at you like
I hate that. Oh my gosh.
I want to be very careful. I understand it is coming from a good heart, and I don't want to hurt the person.
Yeah, it is.
But I tell a story probably in the blog about a friend of mine that did that. And
yeah,
I didn't want to hurt the person. But what had happening is, as he's telling her, I'm not ready to date, he finds the girl he wants to date and starts dating her. That looks worse.
Yeah.
Because, oh, you lie. You were ready to date. You know, I think it's so important that we, you know, still with love, but be able to say, hey, I'm not interested in dating. Like, you're great, but I'm not interested, because otherwise it leaves so much room for just a mess of situations where it's like, you're going to look like you lied. There's going to be confusion, hurt feelings, friendships are going to be ruined. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
To try to be nice to that degree where you're actively, you know, I love, it's been said, like, lying isn't always necessarily telling a lie. It's also hiding the truth.
Yes.
And it's, you need to say, hey, I'm not interested in you. Like, I love you as a friend, or whatever you need to say, but the words need to come out of, I'm not interested in dating you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on that note, one, we have to be able to say that as people are turning people down. And two, on the other side, people receiving that, you have to, again, be able to respect that and not try to push and push and push, because this has become one of those kind of worm, I don't know what it'd be called, like snake eating the snake or whatever, where it's a never-ending circle of, girls or guys don't want to reject clearly because people get hung up on it and try to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So they find it easier to just lie about it, which makes people want to press in. Like, it becomes this never-ending circle. So we just need to cut it off. We need to stop it.
Yeah, and also I'd like to add to that, actually answer the person. You know, everyone's human, everyone's putting themselves out on a limb to ask. When a guy asks a girl, he's really putting forth a lot of courage just to ask. And so I would say, Christian girls, I've never seen so much quote spiritual snobbery in as in Christian girls with guys. Seriously, they can be so rude. And so I'm always like, stop ghosting guys. Just tell them this isn't working for you, but you wish them the best. Or if he asks you, don't just ignore his message. Actually, open that message and answer him and say, you know, I really appreciate you asking, but this won't work for me. You know, anything kind and gracious. You know, one guy said, I so appreciate you answering. So many girls just don't even answer. And I'm like, yeah, let's just treat each other with respect and be brave enough to actually say a few words.
Yeah. And I think another one, I'm so glad you brought that up, because the other that I think in the blog, I even say these three. The third thing I always hear is like, I just don't feel that you're the one God has called me to marry, or stuff like that, where we
God
kind
has
of get
called me to marry. Yeah.
over-spiritualized.
Yeah.
Like, sweet. Well, guess what? You heard wrong, God wrong before. Guaranteed. This as well be a little more, not harsh, but blunt. I'm like, you've heard God wrong.
Yeah.
So for you to be like, I obviously know the this is, you know what? On the other end, the other person might be totally equally unhealthy, being like, God told me I'm supposed to marry this for, like, stop it. Both sides, stop it. Do not bring God into it in that sense of, I feel like the Lord has called me to do that.
Yeah.
Now, is there a 0.1% where that may happen? Sure. But I'm not even going to focus on that, because if God really did do it, it's you're not going to be able to deny it. But otherwise, that's another one. Don't over-spiritualize it, you know?
Yeah.
Don't over-spiritualize the rejection. Don't over-spiritualize the pursuit. Anything like that. Just say, hey, I'm not interested in you. Like, you seem great. You know, look for another thing I was thinking also. You really, I personally, and I don't have as much back in this, I don't think you should go into the reasons why. Necessarily. It could be a conversation you have down the road. But what I see happening with that is, if you give the reasons why, if that conversation happens, it's too easy for the other person to then try to change, to become the, like, oh, well, I'll just fix those things. And that's not what they need to do. Like, sure, there might be legit things that they need to work on, but they shouldn't do it to get this specific person.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, unless there's an issue of like, I really love you, but I can't date you because I don't want to date somebody who smokes pot, you know, who smokes weed, you know, and then for that guy to take it seriously and to stop smoking weed and to fight for the relationship, that's totally different than, you know, to be rejected and then to try to quickly turn into what you think they would want to keep. Like, that's just like we're not going to do that.
And I'm gonna, one other thing I want to make sure to say in this, because I see it all the time, and I'm gonna be not, well, vulnerable, yes, but I'm going to take the t-shirt off. I'm just another guy that has seen this happen to me and other people so often. If you reject a guy, again, turn down a guy, don't then, and I've seen this so many times, it's one of those things, I get the heart, but it just comes across so just petty and so many other words. I know it's not, but it just comes across that way. I can't tell you how many times when I have asked a girl out and they turn me down, which that's okay. That they then go into a hole of like, but you're gonna be an amazing husband for a girl one day, and oh my gosh, you're such a wonderful guy, and they go on and on about this. And then I get girls do that where they start posting on Facebook things of someone date this guy, someone marry this guy. It's like, don't do that.
No, don't do
Because here's
that.
the thing, you just turned him down.
Mm-mm.
And so you saying that sounds, it's so confusing. Like, well, if I'm
Yes.
such a great guy, why did you say that? Like, just don't leave it
Oh
there.
my gosh, I so agree with that. That actually happened to me with my divorce, and that was like 10 million times worse. But you know, my ex-husband was like, you're so beautiful and you're so wonderful and you're going to make some man so happy one day.
Oh.
But I'm leaving, I'm divorcing you. You know, it was crushing.
Yeah.
It was like, so I would say I would echo that very, very, very much. Keep it simple. Like, you don't have to say a whole bunch of hurtful things. You will crush a person sometimes if you tell them why. You will devastate them. And as tempting as it is to feel like you have to explain yourself, you actually don't. Nobody owes anybody an explanation of why a relationship's not working. Now, a marriage is different, but we're talking dating. You know, a divorce is absolutely different. But for dating, yeah, just leave it. Just say, I really respect you as a person, but it's not working for me. And leave it at that. And because the more you say, the more damage you're going to do. And if another person is not mature enough, you know, to accept that and to move on without having all their questions answered, that's on them. I know it's really hard to be walked away from and not know exactly why, but it's a maturity thing to be able to accept that and not have to know why.
Yep, 100%. I agree.
So good. And this is a difficult topic. There's no easy way, no easy way around it. Because everyone just wants to be wanted and just wants to be loved. And yet when we find that space as a single person where we know that we're wanted and we know that we're loved, we become exuberantly joyful on the inside as a single person without somebody. I was kneeling in front of my fireplace one day, just praying and doing some really deep inner work of healing. And the Lord opened it up to me like I'd never seen before, that in the worst moments of my life, when I was told all those things and when I watched my husband walk out the door and when the divorce papers came to my door, and all of those very worst moments of rejection, I was perfectly loved in those moments by God.
Yep.
He made me exactly the way I was. Eye color, hair color, personality, background, you know, he wanted me born into the culture I was born into. I had such a revelation of God's love that it changed me from the inside out. And I actually don't need a man to tell me that, you know.
Come on.
That would be lovely. That would be wonderful. But I don't have to have that before I can feel whole and complete and do my life as Sarah Daigle. Yes, you know, I still have his name. But God's love is so real. And he made you because he wanted you. Let's hear that loud and clear. Every single one of you listening, he made you because he wanted you. Your looks, your personality, your everything about you, he wanted that. And it doesn't matter if Hollywood wants that or not. Now, I'm not talking about the areas of us that we really need to change, because sometimes we mess up God's creation in us. And I tell my kids, you know, when they talk down on themselves, I'm like, don't talk down on my child. Like, God made you, and it hurts me when you call yourself ugly. I have one child who's constantly saying, I'm so ugly. I'm like, no, you're not. God made you exactly the way he wanted you. And I would just say that, like, that core with the Lord is so beautiful and so strengthening and so grounding. But at the same time, when we do things like become addicted, drink too much, eat too much, spend too much, you know, any of those things, what we're actually doing is we are then robbing God of his own glory, because we're actually kind of messing up his creation in us. And that ties back to, how do we face rejection of, and on the one hand go, I'm a good thing, you know, he walked away from a good thing, versus I'm perfect and I didn't do anything wrong. It goes back to that identity of being loved by God and knowing who you are, created by God, but yet also taking the responsibility to not mess up the creation of God that he made you to be. And sometimes we mess ourselves up really badly. And our humanistic culture doesn't want to admit that. We don't want to look at ourselves and go, gosh, this area of my life is actually really ugly. And I need to revamp it. And I am not good enough just the way I am. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that as in anytime we're so fixated on, you know, all those slogans, be you, you know, you're good enough just the way you are. That doesn't leave any room for repentance, and it doesn't leave any room for self-improvement,
yeah.
Which repentance is an absolute gift, because when God shows you something, like you're anxious and fearful, or you're eating too much for comfort and it's really showing, or you're drinking your sorrows away and you're ruining your life, that is a gift to be able to look at yourself and say, I'm doing that and I need to stop. And by God's grace, I will, because that is not who he made me to be. And that is not lovely and pure and good and righteous and self-control, all of those fruits of the Spirit. And so, yes, repentance is a gift. When you're rejected, please, everyone, don't just say, I'm God's gift to mankind and it's their loss. You know your identity in Christ. You are absolutely loved, absolutely wanted in Christ. But have you done something to blight his creation? You know, the beauty of his creation. Are you doing things that are actually hindering the glory of God from your life? So anyway, there's such a huge topic, but I really love that we got to touch on that.
Yeah. And I would encourage, just really quickly, I know we're short on time. The best simple short advice I can give anyone, and there's time of singleness or any time, is get close with God.
Absolutely.
Continue.
Yeah.
Number one goal, continue to get close with God. You got rejected, take that time to get close with God. You know, you need to turn down someone, get closer to God.
Yes.
That would be my number one.
It really is. It really is. It's so grounding, and it'll give you courage to try again, or courage to stay single, whatever God's calling you to do. And so our time is up. I have absolutely loved this with you, Johnny Davis. You are awesome as always. So for all of our listeners, if you want more of his content, find him on Facebook, Instagram, shoot him a DM with any of your, you know, relational questions. He's always up to talking. And as for my website, you can find his blogs, actually guest posts, on my website, sarah-daigle.org. That's sarah-daigle.org. Or find me on Facebook and Instagram. Either one of us would love to chat with you. So
Absolutely.
Until next time, we will be back with our next topic, and we're so excited for it. See you then.